Are you ready for a great week?
Yes.
I'm excited to be here. I know you're excited to be here. I'm looking forward to this night. I'm also looking forward to this week. Focal Point really gives us an opportunity to be rejuvenated, to be encouraged. It provides an opportunity for fellowship. I appreciate the elders so much and the vision that they have in putting this program together. I'm grateful for all of the work that Wayne and Trent and Jordan do on a daily basis to prepare for this great event. But most importantly, I want to thank the congregation here. Focal Point wouldn't exist. It would not function if it wasn't for your labor of love. I truly believe what Paul said to Philemon in Philemon verse 7 could be said about the congregation here at University. The hearts of the saints are refreshed because of you. Tonight there are a lot of things that we can talk about. There are a lot of things that we could glory in. But none is more worthwhile than the cross of Christ. Paul put it this way in Galatians chapter 6, verse 14. But God forbid that I should glory, save in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom the world is crucified unto me and I unto the world. The word glory here embodies three shades of meaning: to boast, to rejoice, and to rely on. Paul says, I will boast in nothing but the cross. I will rejoice in nothing but the cross. And I will rely on nothing but the cross. You see, this is an amazing statement when you consider all of the things that the Apostle Paul could have gloried in. In Philippians chapter 3, verses 4 through 6, we see a list of his pedigree from the tribe of Benjamin and Hebrew of Hebrews, educated as a Pharisee. His zeal in persecuting the church made him a pillar among the Jews. If righteousness could be attained through the law, Paul was your guy. But listen to what he says about those things in Philippians chapter 3, beginning at verse number 7. But what things were gained to me, those I counted loss for Christ. Yea, doubtless, and I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Jesus Christ my Lord. Paul would go on to say, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and do count them but refuge, that I might win Christ, and be found in Him, not having my own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith, that I might know Him, and the power of His resurrection, and the fellowship of His sufferings, being made conformable unto His death. Did you notice that in four verses, Paul mentions Christ eight times? Paul says it's not about my education, it's about the excellency of the knowledge of Him. It's not about my righteousness through the law, it's about His righteousness. It's not about my prestige. It's about His sufferings. It's about His resurrection. It's about His death. It's not about me. It's about Christ. It's about the One who loved me and gave Himself for me. Galatians 2, verse number 20. God forbid that I should glory save in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ. God forbid that we should glory save in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ. Here's why. If not for the cross, we would not know the Christ. Have you ever thought about how much we learn about Christ from the cross? While on the cross, He made 7 significant statements. And each one is remarkable in its scope and its simplicity. Some have said that Jesus preached some of His greatest sermons from the cross. From the cross in John 19, verse number 26, Jesus said, "Woman, behold thy son." This statement has a lot to say about our Lord's care and concern for others, and His sense of parental duty. You see, as He was bearing the sins of the world on the cross, He took a moment to provide for the care of His mother. From the cross, we know that Jesus Christ was a caring son. From the cross in John 19, verse 28, Jesus said, "I thirst." What a powerful reminder these two words are of our Lord's humanity. You see, Jesus knew what it was like to hunger and to thirst. He knew what it was like to suffer, to hurt, to feel pain. Because of the cross, we know that Christ was a man, therefore He can understand us. From the cross in John 19, verse 30, Jesus said, "It is finished." Our Lord came for a purpose, and that purpose was for our redemption. Jesus said in John 4, verse 34, "My meat is to do the will of Him that sent me and to finish His work." We see in Hebrews 10, verse 12, that He offered one sacrifice for sins and sat down on the right hand of God. What He came to do, He did it completely, and He left nothing undone. Remember Mark 7, verse 37, He had done all things well. Because of the cross, we know that Christ came to do a job that would only benefit us, and He finished it. From the cross in Luke 23, verse 34, Jesus said, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." Can you imagine being a centurion at the foot of the cross and hearing those words? He could have said, "Father, consume them. Father, destroy them." But He said, "Father, forgive them." Because of the cross, we know that there is forgiveness with God, and that Christ wants nothing more than for every single one of us to have that forgiveness. From the cross in Luke chapter 23, verse 43, Jesus told the thief on the cross, "Today thou shalt be with me in paradise." In Hebrews 12, verse 2, we read about Jesus who for the joy endured the cross. And His words to the thief on the cross give us insight into what this joy was. Even as He hung in agony, He looked beyond the cross to that moment when He would bring us into eternity. That was the joy that was set before Him because of the cross. We know how much Christ wants us to be with Him in paradise. From the cross in Matthew 27, verse 46, Jesus cried out, my God, why hast thou forsaken me?" We read the same words in Psalm 22, which is really a poetic description of the crucifixion of Jesus Christ and what Jesus Christ was experiencing on the cross. But have you ever stopped to think about what Christ faced before He went to the cross? The mocking, the scourging, the being spat upon, being ridiculed, being humiliated. And He never cried out once against what was happening. Like the prophet Isaiah foretold, He is brought as a lamb to the slaughter and as a sheep before her shearers is dumb. So he opened not his mouth, Isaiah 53, verse 7. But when he was bearing the penalty of our sins on the cross, we hear this anguish cry, "My God, my God, why hast thou forsaken me?" You see, because of the cross, we know the price that Christ was willing to pay for our sins. From the cross in Luke chapter 23, verse 46, Jesus would say, "Father, into thy hands I commit my spirit." Jesus' final words to his Father are a profound statement of trust in his Father. Because of the cross, we see that Christ had absolute confidence in death because he trusted his Father. If not for the cross, we would not know the Christ. We would not know his humanity. We would not know him as a devoted son, as a willing redeemer. We would not know the anguish of his rejection and the depth of his desire to share glory with us. We would not know that he has done everything that he can to redeem us before he committed his spirit to his Father. Aren't you glad that you can know Christ through the cross? If not for the cross, we would not know the Christ. If not for the cross, we would not know the depth of God's grace, mercy, and love. The cross of Jesus Christ is the greatest demonstration of God's grace, mercy, and love. The Apostle John would say in 1 John 4, verse 8, "God is love. Therefore, God is gracious and merciful." Grace is when God gives us what we don't deserve. Mercy is when God doesn't give us what we do deserve. Because of sin, we deserve death, but because God is gracious, merciful, and loving, God gives us what we need, not what we deserve. And what we need is God's forgiveness. Amen. Listen to what the psalmist said in Psalm 130, verses 3 and 4. "O Lord, if thou shouldest mark iniquity, O Lord, who shall stand? But there is forgiveness with thee, that thou mayest be feared." I believe that is the greatest news that a lost and dying world can hear today. There is forgiveness with God because of the cross. And because God is gracious, merciful, and loving, we see in Psalm 103, verse 10, "He hath not dealt with us after our sins, nor has he rewarded us according to our iniquities." He, the psalmist, would go on to say in verse 12, "As far as the east is from the west, so far hath he removed our transgressions from us." What a dead man needs the most is not a coffin, but salvation. And salvation is in Christ Jesus. In Acts 4, verse 12, "Neither is there salvation in any other, for there's none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved." In 2 Timothy 2, verse 10, Paul says, "I endure all things for the elect's sake, that others may obtain salvation which is in Christ Jesus." Listen to me carefully, because we can't earn our salvation. We don't deserve salvation, and we should never be ashamed to say that salvation is a gift from God. In Romans 6, verse 23, Paul says, "For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Christ Jesus." In Titus chapter 2, verse number 11, and we see that it's God's grace which is the source of our salvation. In Titus 2, verse 11, for by the grace of God that brings salvation, the grace that brings salvation, Paul says, has appeared to all man. And then you drop down to Titus 2, verse 14. The grace that brings salvation comes to us at Christ's expense, who died for us. You see, it was by the grace of God that Jesus tasted death for every man, Hebrews 2, verse 9. It was by the grace of God that Jesus Christ became poor so that we might be made rich. For you know the grace of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, though He were rich, yet for your sake He became poor so that ye through His poverty might be made rich. And Philippians chapter 2, 6 through 10 tells us how He did that. What an amazing commentary on 2 Corinthians 8, verse 9, where Paul speaks about Christ emptying Himself of His equality with God and taking on Him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of man, and being found in fashion as a man, listen to it, He humbled Himself and He became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. He left glory so I could go to glory because He loves me so. Oh, the depth and the riches of God's saving grace flowing down the cross for me, for you. You see, the cross of Christ Jesus is heaven's pledge of God's love for mankind. For God so loved the world that He gave us His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. The cross of Christ is the sinner's plea. In Romans chapter 5, beginning at verse number 6, for when we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet peradventure for a good man some would even dare to die. But God demonstrated His love toward us, and while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more than being now justified by His blood, we shall be saved from wrath through Him. We cannot even begin to comprehend the depth of God's love, grace, and mercy without the cross. If not for the cross, we could not experience the riches of God's blessings. After Jesus cried out, "It is finished," in John chapter 19, verse 34, we read about that soldier who took his spear and pierced the side of our Lord, and it says immediately, water and blood flowed from the womb. It's because of the blood of Jesus Christ we have redemption. We have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of His grace. Ephesians 1, verse 7. Blood has always been a part of God's plan of redemption. In Hebrews 9, verse 22, without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sins. And I believe the story of Hosea illustrates God's redeeming love for mankind. God told Hosea in Hosea chapter 3 to go buy his wife back. Gomer sold herself to her lovers, and Hosea bought her back for 15 shekels and a half a homer of barley. We learn in 1 Kings 21 verse 20 that we're a lot alike, like Ahab at times. We have sold ourselves to work evil in the sight of the Lord, but we learn that our Lord is the one that redeemed us. In 1 Peter 1 verse 18, for as much as you know, you're not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold from your vain conversation received by the tradition of your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ. Our redemption had a price. If not for the cross, we would not know the blessings that flow from the cross. Because of the blood, we have redemption. Because of the blood, Romans 5, verse 9, we have justification. Because of the blood of Christ, I love this one. Colossians 1, verse 20, we have peace with God. Our peace with God is written. Our peace treaty with God is written with the blood of Jesus Christ. Here's an interesting word, Romans 3, verse 25. We have propitiation through faith in the blood of Christ. That idea of propitiation. Jesus Christ died in my stead. I deserve to die because I am the one that sinned. He did absolutely nothing. He did no sin. We see Jesus dying on the cross, 1 Peter 3, verse 18, the just for the unjust. That's you and me. And do you realize Jesus' sacrifice satisfies, it appeases the wrath of God? Again, the idea of propitiation through faith in His blood. Because of the blood, I can draw near to God. While on earth, Jesus said in John 12, verse number 32, "And I, if I be lifted up from the earth, I will draw all men unto me." I believe that's what Paul was thinking about in Ephesians 2, verse number 13, when he says that we can draw near to God through the blood of Christ. I hope you're seeing that there's power in the blood of Christ. Therefore, Christ is the Christian's hope and the devil's defeat. We learn in Hebrews chapter 2, verse number 14, that Jesus Christ partook of flesh and blood so that He could destroy the power of the devil. Just like David took Goliath's own sword and destroyed him with it, Jesus Christ took Satan's weapon of death and destroyed him with it when He died on the cross. In 2 Timothy 1, verse 10, we learn that Jesus Christ abolished death by dying on the cross and hath brought life and immortality to light through the gospel. That's the message of Revelation 1, verse 18, where Jesus said, "I am He that liveth and was dead, and behold, I'm alive forevermore and have the keys of hell and death." If not for the cross, we could not know the richness of God's blessings. If not for the cross, there would be no church. I know we love talking about the cross, knowing Christ through the cross, knowing the grace, the mercy, and love of God through the cross. I know we love talking about the blessings that flowed from the cross, but we don't want to leave out the fact that if not for the cross, there would be no church. In a religious world that doesn't understand the value of the church, it's imperative that we remember verses like Ephesians 5, verse 25. Christ loved the church and gave Himself for it. In Acts 20, verse 28, He purchased the church with His own blood. We learn in Ephesians 2, verse 16, that God reconciles man to Himself through the church by the cross. In Ephesians 5, verse 23, we learn that Jesus Christ is the Savior of the church. That makes the church important. If I want to be saved, I need to be a part of the body of Christ. I need to be a part of the church. Does it matter what church I belong to? Many would say that no, it doesn't matter. Choose whatever denomination suits you. But the concept of denominationalism seeks to destroy what Christ accomplished on the cross. Remember Ephesians 2, verse 16, by the cross He purchased His church, and by the cross, we are reconciled to God in one body. Notice that, one body. That's the emphasis. Jesus said, "I will build my church." Matthew 16, verse 18. The blood of Jesus purchased the church. When we're baptized into Christ, the Lord adds us to that one body. Acts 2, verse 47. In 1 Corinthians 12, verse 13, Paul says, "For by one Spirit were you all baptized into one body." And when I turn to the New Testament, I see those identifying marks of the Lord's church. The church is identified by a scriptural name, the Church of Christ. The church is the bride of Christ. The church should wear His name. The church is identified by her scriptural worship, by her doctrine. The church is identified by her organization. And so, does it matter what church I belong to? Yes, it matters. I need to belong to the church that belongs to Christ. If not for the cross, there would be no church. If not for the cross, we would have nothing to live for. Listen to what Paul says in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, beginning at verse 14. Paul says, "For the love of Christ compels me, because we thus judge that if one died for all, then we're all dead. And that he died for all, that they which live should not henceforth live unto themselves, but unto him which died for them and rose again." Do you see what Paul is saying? It's the cross. It's the love of Christ that motivated him to die for me, that compels me to live for him. If not for the cross, again, we would have nothing to live for. We would have nothing that compels us to live for him. I realize how challenging life can be. Life can be a struggle. "Man that is born a woman," Job said, "is full of trouble," Job 14, verse 1. The point that Job is making is there's going to be times when life doesn't go our way. And when life doesn't go our way, we cannot give up. We cannot throw in the spiritual towel. Like Job said in Job 2, verse 10, we have to learn to take the good with the bad. And it's the love that Christ displayed at the cross that should help each one of us endure the grief, endure the suffering, to endure the hardships of this life. You see, Christ was crucified on the cross so that we can join with Paul in saying, "I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me." I hope the cross of Christ motivates you to live for him. If not for the cross, there would be nothing to live for. If not for the cross, there would be no gospel to preach. In 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 18, Paul says, "For the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us which are saved, it is the power of God." You see, if not for the cross, there would be no good news to preach. For some, the preaching of the cross is foolishness. Some would tell us that we're wasting our time here tonight. But for us, the preaching of the cross is the power of God unto salvation. Because the gospel reveals how the power of the cross can take someone who is dead in sin and make them alive. And that's something worth talking about, you see. That's why the gospel is good news. That's why Paul says, "I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ." This is why God has given us marching orders to go into all the world and to herald the good news of the gospel. How Christ died for our sins and how He was buried and how He was raised from the dead the third day according to the Scriptures. When a lost soul hears and believes the gospel that entails the death, burial, and resurrection, when that sinner repents of their lifestyle of sin and confesses the precious name of Jesus, and when that sinner goes down into the watery grave of baptism, reenacting the death and the burial and the resurrection of Jesus Christ, the power of God is brought to bear. That person that is baptized for the remission of their sins, that contacts the precious blood of Christ, becomes a new creature in Christ Jesus. "All things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new." 2 Corinthians 5, verse 17. When a person is buried in the watery grave of baptism, the prophet Micah says that our sins are cast into the depths of the sea. We're delivered from the power of darkness, and we're translated into the kingdom of God's dear Son. Again, the same power that raised Jesus from the dead raises us from the deadness of sin when we obey the gospel of Jesus Christ. You see, friends, the cross of Christ, it has teaching power. It has drawing power. It has transforming power. Because of the cross of Christ, we can know the Christ. Because of the cross of Christ, we can discover the love of God. Because of the cross, we can avoid the wrath of God. Because of the cross of Christ, we can be forgiven of our sins. Because of the cross, we can be a part of the family of God. Because of the cross, we have purpose. Because of the cross, we have good news to share. I'm here to tell you tonight that the cross of Jesus Christ can make a difference in your life. It's made a difference in my life, and I know many of you can say the same thing tonight because of what Jesus accomplished on the cross for me and for you. It might be that you're here tonight and you're carrying the burden of sin. Listen to the good news. Burdens are lifted where? At Calvary. For those who will respond to the Christ. You see, Jesus Christ became the author of eternal salvation unto all them that obey Him. Hebrews 5, verse 9. It was by the grace of God that Jesus Christ tasted death for every person, but the death of Christ, the blood of Christ cannot help you unless you identify yourself with Christ. And we identify ourselves with Christ by obeying the one who died for us. If you are carrying the burden of sin tonight, allow the cross of Christ to compel you to respond to the greatest invitation known to mankind. It might be that you've already obeyed the gospel. Perhaps you've wandered away from the family of God. Allow the cross of Christ to compel you to come back to your first love. Read the parable of the prodigal son. The Lord will take you back. In fact, if you've wandered away and if you're here tonight, the Lord wants you to respond tonight. The Lord wants you to come back home to Him. He will receive you when you meet His terms of pardon. If you will confess your fault, He is just to forgive us of our sins according to 1 John 1, verse 9. That's what He's promised to do. But there might be some here tonight that are struggling in their faith. Allow the cross of Christ to compel you, to motivate you, to reach out to the one, to the great physician that can help you. Christ loves us. Christ wants to help us. And so tonight, if you need to respond to the Lord's invitation, won't you do so right now as we stand and as we sing?